me friend, if you're an Email Templates 101 owner, be sure to log in and check out the 2024 updates and brand new templates in your course.
You'll find a new active listing seller check-in template, as well as a new offer delivery template for your sellers, plus lots of fine-tuning to the other existing templates.
Don't have Email Templates 101 yet? Grab yours now at hustlehumblypodcast.com/courses. Different bad or different good? And he says, I don't know. Nobody likes change. That's all I keep playing in my head. I don't know. Nobody likes change.
I think that is the perfect way to describe how I feel.
In some ways, I would say, thanks a lot, Missouri.
I know.
Because we were doing just fine.
I wanted to be like, what agent was so bad that they pissed off someone?
It was the
so much. Thank you, DOJ. Wow. This isn't the end of buyer agency. This is the beginning.
Hi, y'all. Welcome to Hustle Humbly. It's Alyssa and Katie, and we are two top producing realtors in the Baton Rouge market.
We work for two different companies where we should be competitors, but we have chosen community over competition.
The goal of our podcast is to encourage you to find your own way in business.
So stop comparing yourself and start embracing your strengths.
Hi, everyone.
Hey,
it's
guys.
Katie, and here's Alyssa.
Hey.
It's a bonus episode. Yay. Yeah.
Bonuses are fun.
I will say for the record, the last time I think we had a bonus was COVID.
We're what like, is it with disaster to like, bring out a bonus?
We're like, emergency. So we're going to try and keep it upbeat, but we're going to talk about the settlement.
Yeah.
And if you haven't heard about it, you're also clearly living under a rock. Yeah. We felt like this was important because, first of all, I'm over headlines. And we're going to give you practical. And here's the great news. You and I did not previously discuss this.
No.
You've been out of town.
Yeah.
You just got back. So this is going to be a very candid conversation between the two of us.
Right.
We briefly talked about one thing before we started. But I want to go back in time a little because the headlines are so misleading and because even in the realtor groups, I feel like people are saying just really wrong information.
Realtors. Yeah.
So we're going to do a little history lesson.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is from an article I found online.
Okay.
It is the history of NAR.
Okay.
In 1913, the predecessor to NAR, and don't worry, y'all, I'm going to tell you what NAR is in a minute, stated that any listing agent be prepared to share the commission with anyone who brought a buyer. 1913.
Okay. So like if you're getting something, be willing to share.
Yeah. To anyone who brought you a buyer. So the buyer's agent.
Sure.
Okay. 1920s, the average commission was around 2.5% of the sales price. Okay, so the total. It was 2.5, and they were still giving something to the buyer side. 1940s, the average commissions were around 5%.
Okay.
2020, can you guess what the average commission was?
4.
It was 4.94.
Okay.
Guess what it wasn't? 6.
Right.
If I see another GD headline that says 6% commissions are gone. I'm like, they were always negotiable. They were not
always
all 6.
Negotiable.
They were not all 6. And we have been very mindful as agents, I feel like in our market specifically, to never discuss commission like openly because it is an antitrust violation.
Yes.
And yet the media, some agents have heard. I mean, like, they just say it like it's a known fact that it's 6. It has to be 6. It's not freaking 6.
Right. It's like, negotiable.
I would love to have been paid that much my entire 18-year career.
Same.
It was not.
Same.
It was not.
Same.
Okay. So I just wanted to make sure we had a little history of commissions because, in fact, in 2020, the average was 4.94.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's move on to what is NAR or NAR.
Okay,
the initials stand for the National Association of Realtors. And this is taken from their website. Also, it was called something different in 1913. It wasn't called NAR then, but it was just sort of like the group of agents was called something else, and then it eventually became NAR.
Okay.
This is literally from NAR's website. The National Association of Realtors is America's largest trade association, representing more than 1.5 million members involved in all aspects of the residential and commercial real estate industries. The term realtor is a registered collective membership mark that identifies a real estate professional who is a member of the National Association of Realtors and subscribes to its strict code of ethics. Okay. NAR has never set commission amounts.
Never.
Never. Never were they, did they tell me this is what you're required to charge?
No.
Never. Okay. That's all I wanted to do on backstory.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Oh, and also this morning, as I was thinking about recording this and just real delighted, I was like, you know that scene on Friends whenever Ross sleeps with the copy girl and Rachel finds out and then she says, so how was she? And Ross says, different. And she says, different bad or different good? And he says, I don't know. Nobody likes change. That's all I keep playing in my head. I don't know. Nobody likes change.
I think that is the perfect way to describe how I feel. I have always been one of those people that can see both sides of everything. It's hard to vote. It's hard to, like, anything like that, because I'm always like, well, they make great points. Oh, well, that's a great point.
You're like,
too.
I'd prefer not to choose sides.
Yeah, I'm like, I see both sides, always.
Right.
It's a problem a lot of times, and it has shown up to be somewhat problematic in my feelings about this, because it depends if you catch me at the right time.
Right. Okay. So also my new favorite quote is two things can be true.
Two things can be true.
Two things can be true.
So true. And you can feel two things at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's where I'm at. To help us, and then we will get into the meat and potatoes of this, but I have written down the five stages of grief.
Oh, great. You know, we both came in black, not intentionally.
Yeah, we're just grieving, you know.
I mean, look, like nobody likes change.
Nobody likes change. So the stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. Okay. I'm going like back and forth.
Right.
I will say, you know, when this first all started, how long? Like over a year ago.
Yes, because this, well, first of all, the settlement that has sort of instigated all of this.
Yeah.
I mean, the settlement, the lawsuit, was filed, I think, in 2019, but the verdict came in October. We recorded our first episode on this lawsuit in September.
Yes. Okay.
Of 2023.
At that time, denial, denial, denial. I was very much in denial that this was going to get any headway. Mm-hmm. I just thought, and I'm also basing it on how I know I operate and how our market operates.
Correct.
So I don't know how the whole country and every company and every realtor.
Right. In some ways, I would say, thanks a lot, Missouri.
I know.
Because we were doing just fine.
I wanted to be like, what agent was so bad that they pissed off someone it was the
whole
so much?
Market. It was the whole market. Keep going.
Okay.
Keep going.
In my denial phase, I just kept sticking to, they're wrong. The listing agreement is very clear.
So clear.
Not only do you not have to sign it, not only do you not have to put something in these blanks, but like you don't even have to use an agent at all. If you hate agents so much, you don't have to use them.
Yeah.
We are optional. We provide a service.
Yeah. And that was true in every market.
Yeah. But I'm just like, how can we even have a lawsuit when you signed agreeing to like something?
You said.
And it was very clear.
You said.
I just didn't think, I was very much in denial that we would ever get to where we are now. Okay. Right now, I go back and forth between anger and acceptance at the same time.
Sweet. Who are you angry with?
I'm very angry with the National Association of Realtors. Mm-hmm. I'm just angry with how many realtors there are that because it is so easy to get into real estate, there are so many realtors operating from an unprofessional level.
Correct.
Not having any conversations with their clients. We're over here trying to start a podcast to bring professionalism back to the realtor brand.
And now we're like,
and a, you know, a few years in, it's like, let's just throw our papers in the air and be like, forget it.
Forget the realtor brand part.
But on that note, I'm ready to finish up my my pity party here.
Great.
And move into acceptance.
Okay.
Because one thing I got to thinking about is how many times have you heard the professional agents mm-hmm. say, I wish there wasn't so many agents. Mm-hmm. I wish there was a higher barrier to entry. Mm-hmm. I wish it was harder to be an mm-hmm. agent. This is it.
Right.
I think when people said those things, they were hoping on the front end that it would be harder to get your real estate license.
Yeah.
That I don't know what that would look like, but it would just be harder. And we sort of got what we asked for.
In a really backwards way.
Just not on the front end.
Yeah. It's like, bye.
It's like, yeah, now that you are licensed, it is about to be harder.
Yes. Much harder.
Much harder. As we shift.
Uh-huh.
And, but I also think that I heard in one of the episode, one of the researchers that I was listening to say, honestly, I think in the next 2 to 5 years, we're going to be set, the agents that make it, mm-hmm. that are full-time and committed to their chosen profession, mm-hmm. are going to sit down and say, thank you, DOJ.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this isn't the end of buyer agency. This is the beginning.
Right. Right.
And when I get in that mindset, I'm good. It yeah. makes sense to me.
Right. Well, because remember, I love that no one has, and especially in the media, no one has pointed out, you know, we're saving consumers. Mm-hmm. Consumers don't want to pay this. 89% of sellers used an agent in 2022. Again, you're not forced to list your home for sale. Mm-mm. It was up 2%. I mean, that was 2023, up 2% from 2022. And guess what? 89% of buyers used an agent to buy their home in 2023, up 3% from 2022. Mm-hmm. The public, the consumer has spoken. They want to use an agent. So
you
why
don't have to.
We're not the villain.
They want to.
We're not the villain.
They call us.
The consumer has said, I would like to use an agent. They're not required to. The buyers aren't required to. Now that's a little, because if you show up and you're in a dual agency state and you don't have an agent, mm-hmm. the listing agent kind of does both, right?
Right.
But even still, they could say, I don't want you to represent me. The seller could say, I don't want to list my home. I'm listing it for sale by owner. And right. that number keeps shrinking. Mm-hmm. Because y'all, it's a full-time job.
Right.
And the consumers need advice on making and I guess selling the largest investment they will likely ever have.
100%. So just to back up slightly, thank you for giving us the history.
Yeah, no problem.
You know, from the beginning, where mm-hmm. we are now. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's over 2,000 cases out there right
is now. That right?
That is correct. Yes. Okay. They are considered the legacy cases.
Okay. The legacy cases.
The legacy cases are just seller plaintiffs.
Oh, sweet.
That is how all this started.
Well, yeah. Okay.
And
carry
you
on.
Can go back and we will, if you go follow us on Instagram, we will reference back our other episodes that we did explaining mm-hmm. this lawsuit while it was happening. Okay. Yep. It is the National Association of Realtors versus the DOJ, okay? Just recently, why this is such a big deal right now is that NAR has announced that it has reached terms with the plaintiff.
On Seitzer Burnett, mm-hmm. but the terms of the settlement will cover some of the copycats, okay?
Yes.
So some of the other seller plaintiffs, it'll all be lumped together, right?
Yes.
Should it be approved? Because again, not the media. This is a proposed settlement.
Right.
And the DOJ might actually say, this isn't enough.
I know. This all still has to be approved mm-hmm. by a judge.
Yeah.
So this is all proposed. Mm-hmm. As the day that this is recorded, mm-hmm. this is all proposed. Nothing is set in stone. So what their proposal, what the National Association of Realtors is proposing is that they will pay $418 million.
Correct.
And it also means that if they pay this, there will be no more copycats.
Okay.
However, that's only for sellers.
Right. There's already buyer lawsuits out there.
Yes, the buyer lawsuits are just now beginning, which I think is kind of funny if we can just laugh about it for a moment. Like, I bought a house with a realtor and I wanted to pay them myself.
Right. Like, what is the argument?
Yeah, I don't know. They, why a realtor helped me buy a house?
They wanted to pick the amount.
Okay. Whatever. Right?
Well, they were like, well, you just said you got this amount. Yes. Maybe I wanted to negotiate less because you're a new agent.
Yeah.
Or you weren't so good.
I really love the McDonald's example.
Please
we did
tell
before,
them
before. And this might be better visualized than YouTube. But, you know, there are so many rants on Facebook right now. And may we also tell you that is not the place you need to be if you are a professional realtor right now.
I also would like to point out ranting does no one any good.
Nothing.
No good.
No good at all. But someone who clearly didn't follow along in these cases or understand what was going on.
Because if you can see here how many documents I have, I feel entrenched.
Yes. We have been following this. I probably am following it a lot more because of the podcast.
Quite closely.
But I would still be following it.
Yes.
Pretty closely. So she wrote to the public, I can't believe this lawsuit. I mean, if I was going to McDonald's to buy a cheeseburger and they wouldn't tell me how much it cost, I would never buy that cheeseburger. How am I supposed to show houses not even knowing what it costs? I didn't obviously comment or anything. And thankfully, there were some very professional, well-spoken, polite realtors that did put her in her place. But it's like, the point of all of this is so that they do know what it costs.
The buyer right.
does know right. what it costs.
Right.
There is no more. You want a free cheeseburger?
Like, here, this cheeseburger's free.
Yeah. Would you like a cheeseburger?
I'm going to bring it to you.
I'm going to bring you a cheeseburger.
Do you mind if I bring you the cheeseburger?
Yeah, can I bring it to you? Well, what's it cost me?
I'll meet you at the cheeseburger. Don't worry. Don't worry about that.
Well, I need to know what the cheeseburger costs. No, is it free?
No.
Oh. That's how buyers have been feeling, is that they don't know what we're getting paid, even though we're working for them. That's kind of weird.
Right.
Think about it.
It's quite weird.
So it's not that, but on the flip side, I see that what this settlement is proposing is not that buyer compensation is going away.
No.
It is proposing that it cannot be listed in the MLS.
Correct.
At all.
Correct.
Not in a wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
And I am so over those posts.
Me too.
The meme with this house is 3-bedroom and the 3 is capitalized.
Yeah.
And it's got like whatever. So it's basically like a secret code.
Yeah.
Like a decode.
Right.
Y'all, because as realtors, our job now isn't to figure out how to work around this and still do the same thing. The point is to actually take stock of how the industry was set up and be like, okay, if we're going to make this change, how does it get better for the consumer? How does it get better for the agents? How do we make it more transparent for everyone involved? How do I get paid more easily? Mm-hmm. Like, let's just figure it out. Let's not try to figure out how to keep it the way it was.
Correct.
That
we're
annoys me.
We're not looking for loopholes here.
No.
If you are that agent, let's just go ahead and hang our hat because you may not be here in 3 years.
Right.
This is a huge change and you're either on board or you're not.
Right.
This also will require a buyer's representation agreement before you show a house.
Yeah, this is a big one.
Huge.
I would like to say that they're going to, some people are going to say we always had one. We always use one. Our state required, there are states that require it. We happen to be in a state that doesn't. So we have an interesting perspective. This would be a major shift here.
Yes.
Which would also mean that I won't also be pulled into procuring cause mediations, which I have done before and lost $750 of my hard-earned commission.
Same.
So this sounds great to me.
Yeah.
I'm for it. I would love to show up to my buyer and be like, here, you sign this. This is what I'm going to get paid. Let's go see a house. I would also love it as a listing agent to be like, hey, you can't come over here with your buyers unless you have a buyer's
representation agreement.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of agents, and y'all, you can all be good enough that this isn't scary. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of agents that have used the free cheeseburger plan for too long.
Yeah. I'm like, free.
I'm
you don't
free.
Have to pay me anything.
Don't
I'm
worry.
Free.
I don't need you to hire me. I'm just going to show up and open this door and then write this contract. Yay, me. And then someone else will pay me.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to make it a little more difficult for you to be like stranger from the online lead, be like, hey, I'm going to need you to sign this and pay me. And they're going to be like, I don't even know you.
Well, it did make me wonder about the agents that pay for leads, because they don't usually get things signed. Okay. Those are the consumers that are click happy. Mm-hmm. They want to see how they click. They get the agent.
They're contacting five different agents.
Yes. And so it's going to be the most professional one that has a system in place for converting
but
those
leads.
But here's
my question. Who's going to police this?
I don't know.
Who's going to say, do you have your buyer agency agreement signed? Is it the listing agent who says, I need to know you have one before you schedule the showing? Well, that adds more work for me as the listing agent, right? It's not the Board of Realtors. As far as I know, they have never checked any of my documents for anything, because the only documents that get audited are by the Louisiana Real Estate Commission, because those are required by law.
Yes.
And this is not a law. Uh-uh. This is a settlement term for members of the National Association of Realtors. So is NAR policing this somehow?
Right.
Who's policing it? Mm-mm. That's where I have logistical questions.
So they were saying during this change, I would love to know how long it is before we're really comfy again. Like, is it a year? Is it this time next year? We're like, oh, that was wild. I'm glad that we are where we are now.
Dodd-Frank was pretty uncomfortable for a solid year.
And I love it.
I know.
It's amazing.
But that's a law.
You're right.
That's the problem I have with this.
So they were saying that during this transition, the liability risk is going to skyrocket.
Right.
The amount of people that are going to be taken to arbitration, mediation, agent versus agent, consumer versus agent, seller versus buyer, everybody is going to be messy. It's going to be messy before we get into a good rhythm.
You're about to figure it out.
Yeah. And there's other things too. So one thing that I don't agree with, I don't agree with taking compensation out of the MLS, because if we're doing all of this in the name of transparency, this is making it less transparent to me.
For agents. It is the problem is they're trying to do it in the name of transparency for the consumer.
Yeah.
And the consumer does not have access to the MLS. And
well, maybe that's what should have changed.
Right. Well, it's, I mean, what are we going to do now?
And I don't want the whole podcast to be about like how it should have been, but I'm saying that also to say that because it is gone now, we are going to have to find other ways. You are allowed to post if the seller is offering anything or nothing on your personal website.
Okay.
That is allowed.
I mean, it feels like a moment where it's like, is everyone going to put it in showing time?
Right.
That would make sense. I go to make a showing.
It's not an MLS.
It's there. I don't know. There's got to be a place for...
That's the part where it's still not very transparent. Right.
Some other centralized database of this information is going to show up somewhere. And here's the problem, y'all.
MLS 2.0.
Let's go back to our initial friends. I'm going to remind you, DOJ is the Department of Justice. FTC is the Federal Trade Commission. CFPB is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. These governmental agencies care about how this shakes out and have a say. It matters not that NAR and the lawyers for this settlement have decided that this is what they are willing to agree to. The judge has to approve it. Then all of these governmental bodies have to say this is enough of a change.
Yeah.
Because right now the settlement doesn't say sellers can no longer pay buyers' agents. They're allowed to.
Yeah.
That is a proposed term. If one of these bureaus says, that's not enough. We don't want the seller to pay it. The buyer's got to pay their own. The buyer has to know what it is. The buyer has to negotiate it. The buyer has to pay it. Then this settlement will not be, well, it just won't be approved. Would you like to know the timeline?
Yeah.
Okay. I will stay for the record. Two things can be true. I was very, very disappointed in NAR. The second thing is, I think being a member of this trade commission, it's important, this trade association. I think having some standardized ethical rules in place for the profession would be terrible to lose.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine the kind of shenanigans people would do if they were not
held.
Supposed to be held to a...
Look at what happens when they're held. Imagine if they weren't held.
Correct. Wild West, bad stuff. I don't like the thought of it.
So, but I will say NAR is literally, I feel like they hit rock bottom. Mm-hmm. And I actually think they are doing a better job now. Okay.
Now, thanks, guys.
I wanted to say too little too late. And I believe I even put that in one of my emails, but I am changing my tune. I have been to the facts.realtor website.
Oh, I wrote that down.
And it is freaking good.
Yeah, it's good.
And I have seen many communiques from the mothership, NAR, about how to talk about this, what's going on, what we're doing, how we're trying to protect you. I'm like, I think that whoever was in leadership before, I don't know if it was that, I don't know what, we were just like status quo trying to protect the what was normal.
They were kind of like me probably. They were probably in denial that this maybe was going to make it to this point.
They definitely didn't get ahead of it.
No. Okay,
at all. So that I'm disappointed in. Now that we've already gotten where we've gotten, I do feel like they're trying to dig out of the hole, okay? Here's something else they put out. 179 ways agents who are realtors are worth every penny of their commission.
Love that.
179. I didn't read them all yet, but that exists on the website. Okay, but in facts.realtor, they have the terms of the settlement. They have talking points for your clients. They even have sample social media posts. Mm. They got it all, y'all. Great. If you need something, facts.realtor will help you. But I did pull the estimated timeline because I didn't even know what it was.
Okay.
I'm like, when does this proposal get?
June?
Well, here's the deal. March 15th, obviously we all remember Black Friday. what do we call that? It was actually on the Ides of March. Anyway, NAR settlement was signed, okay, between the parties of that lawsuit, mm-hmm. which was Seitzer Burnett. Okay, fine. March 22, plaintiffs file notice of settlement. NAR withdraws pending motions and seeks to stay litigation. So basically, appeal stop, yeah. Right? Okay. Early April is when the decision on preliminary approval should come.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know what that means, but that's what it says.
Early April?
Uh-huh.
Like next week?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. And then it says the end of March, early April, the motion for preliminary approval, 60 days later from the motion. So I don't know if this has happened yet as of this airing, but the motion for preliminary approval would be filed. And then 60 days later is the deadline for realtor MLS is to execute Appendix B in order to be included as a release party. Okay, because there are some brokers that are not included.
Yeah.
I'm not going to dig into that.
Is it because they're not a part of the National Association of Realtors?
Not because the settlement only works for companies that did less than $2 billion
oh, that's right.
in volume.
Yes, I okay, didn't remember that.
So please talk to your broker. Your mm-hmm. broker knows if they're in or out.
Man, I'm glad I'm not a broker right now.
I'm not listing all the brokers that are in or out because you can also buy in. So this is changing by the day. If yeah. your brokerage was out of the settlement, not included, then you could buy in. I'm included. I believe mm-hmm. you're included. Okay. Then 60 days later, deadline for brokerage who are opting in to execute a pen. So basically, if you're going to opt in, it has to happen within 60 days of this motion for preliminary approval.
Okay.
And then the deadline for non-realtor MLSs to execute Appendix D in order to also be included. So if you're in a non-realtor MLS and you want to, because here's why you want to be included. You don't want to be subject to continued copycats. Lawsuits,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So there's going to be this kind of, everyone's going to be like, well, you know what? We got to all get on this bandwagon.
So all these people that were like, well, my brokerage is not even included in this lawsuit. Uh-huh. Guess what? That's you. Bad news.
Yeah, you might as well get
that's
in.
Actually not good news for you.
Okay, next on the timeline, mid to late July, NAR would implement the practice changes.
Okay,
so the things that we're talking about, end of July is class notice. I guess they're just trying to let every consumer know if they belong to the class. Oh. I would also like to state for the record, y'all, I received a note card to my home
yep.
to a woman who does not exist to my knowledge, mm-mm. named Sherry Dees. If you're out there, Sherry, let me know. I'm getting your mail. I'm the only person who's ever lived at this address. This home was brand new. So no municipal address even existed prior to me owning this home. And I, Sherry Dees, who does not live here, was eligible to join the class.
Oh, great.
I'm like, you don't say.
Fictitious person.
Because that's what lawyers do.
Okay, mid-late August, the realtor MLSs and opting in non-realtor MLSs and brokerages to implement practice changes. So I guess some things happen in July, some things happen in August as far as changing practices. Maybe that's the actual doesn't show on the MLS vibe. I don't know. And then September, anticipated motion in support of final approval. So we still haven't gotten final approval, even though we've started making these changes. This is what I can't understand. I got to do all this stuff. What if it doesn't get approved? Am I undoing it?
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
Ugh. All right. And then December, final approval hearing, estimated date, TBD. So December.
Okay. So possibly July is when we'll have to start implementing if it all gets approved.
And you won't know until December if it's definitely approved.
I hope it's swift. Whatever happens, I just want it to be like a light switch.
I don't
want to
kill me quickly.
I think it's like, I think one of the reasons, because in our market, buyer representation agreements aren't used, really. Mm-hmm. If you tried to get a buyer in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to sign one, they would likely say, nobody else, I've never heard of this. Nobody else has made me do this.
Or I'll just go ask another agent
That agent wouldn't make me sign anything.
Look, because not everyone's going to be an early adopter.
Right.
Even though you and I are going to tell everyone, hey, now's a great time to get your process ready, to start doing this. Look, you're going to have to do it. Don't wait till the last minute.
Right.
Does that mean in this next little bit of transition, you could lose a buyer who doesn't want to sign it and goes to an agent that isn't an early adopter? I guess.
You could.
You could.
You have to be okay with an extent.
You could also learn that the public isn't going to let you down. Mm-hmm. They're going to be like, well, I want to work with you, Alyssa. Mm-hmm. I called you.
Yes.
And if this is what it takes to work with you, I'm okay with that.
Oh, this is how you run your business?
It might be harder for people who get online leads because those are strangers. They didn't seek that particular agent out,
They just wanted that house.
If you've been working by repeat referral, I don't think this is going to be a problem.
I agree with that. And that's sort of, I think, where I'm getting my peace from. Also.
Okay.
But yes, I agree that if it's swift, then it's like no matter what agent you call, they're going to make you sign a buyer representation agreement. And if they're not, they will likely go to mediation.
They're in violation. Mm-hmm. Right.
So some of the other liability issues is that because compensation is going to go through so much, like if you are steering a buyer at all based on compensation, you will likely lose your license. I mean, you can't say.
And you should.
You cannot say, oh, well, I'm not showing you that house because the seller's not offering to pay me. Because guess what? That doesn't matter anymore because this buyer that you're telling that to has already signed a buyer representation agreement with you saying what they will pay you.
Right.
So that's where the bright side of this is that think about how safe you feel with a listing.
Yeah.
Nobody can go knock on that door and throw your sign out the yard and stick there. Oh, can you imagine? It's like the Wild West.
Yeah, like, haha, mine now.
Yeah, I took your sign and put mine there. Like, surprise. Like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't
now
do that.
Now you can't do that with buyers either. Isn't that beautiful?
I love it.
I just think it's great.
Like, we're working together.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other terms of the settlement that you need to share? Did we cover them all?
I think that was the high point.
You can't share the commission on the MLS if the seller is offering one, but the seller is still allowed to offer one. We just don't know how they're going to get it out there.
We don't know yet. Okay. I have heard it's going to be on the form of, like, your website.
Okay.
At some point, which is... It's just like another step. You're going to have to – we do run a business. We do need to know.
It's not the end of the world for me if I have to go to click on another website to find out. I don't care.
Yes.
It just doesn't bother me.
So on this buyer representation agreement, it must be an amount. It cannot be up to, or it has to be
an amount. Okay, I'm so glad you said this, because if you negotiate with your buyer, at this point, can I just say numbers? Like, I'm over it.
Yeah, we're not talking about.
This is a sample. If on your buyer representation agreement,
20%.
You say 20%, obviously that's real high. If you say 20 and then the seller is offering 25,
you only get 20.
Right. So with this settlement, it prohibits the buyer's agents from collecting more than the amount on their buyer representation agreement.
I like it.
So if you're selling yourself short and the seller is offering more, you do not get to collect that more. It will be passed on to the buyer client as extra.
Oh, it goes to the buyer though.
Yes, that is
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
But I think that's sketch and I'm not sure about that.
I know.
Wouldn't the seller keep it? And then if I'm the listing agent, would I be like, hey, look, it's been going this way. Every buyer's agent shows up with an agreement that says 20 and, you know, you want to give 25, but mm-hmm. the extra five's going to the buyer. You should just offer 20. Mm-hmm. This is how commissions will get pushed down.
Right.
Because why would I tell my seller to just, I don't know. Like, I don't get it.
So they're saying too, like, you cannot withhold an offer because of compensation. If you're not pleased with what the seller is offering, then you have to write a written request of compensation that everybody signs.
Okay.
So that is where transparency is coming in.
Okay. I like that.
They're saying that sellers will, majority of sellers at this time, because 89% of them did last year by choice, will continue to see the value of offering some sort of concessions. But the way that it will be worded is that seller is offering X amount to a buyer. So that could be seller is offering $10,000 in concessions to a buyer. It is up to that buyer.
How they use it.
Do I want to use that to cover?
Now, that is still allowed in the MLS.
Yeah.
But it cannot say that it has to be used for an agent commission.
Correct.
It has to just be $10,000 in concessions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you. Whatever mm-hmm. you want to do. You want to apply it towards your down payment. You want to do it towards your closing costs. You want to pay an agent. It's up to you.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If you do not have a buyer representation agreement signed, you cannot be paid. If you don't have a listing agreement signed, and you know those agents that tell for sale by owners, I'll do an open house for you. I'll market your property and make you flyers. They don't have a listing agreement signed.
No, they're looking for buyers.
They're looking for buyers, but or hoping that the seller will eventually hire them.
Yeah, right.
But what I see is that the sellers, thanks to some of the agent's free marketing, sell their home and that agent makes nothing. They couldn't collect anything because there was no listing agreement.
Right.
There has to be a buyer's representation agreement mm-hmm. signed in order for you to be paid
yeah.
on a buyer side of a transaction. A seller can still offer the concession, but you have to clarify how it's designated with your buyer.
Okay.
That's where transparency is.
Got it.
When talking to a seller.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
Okay. This is from, I'll have to source it in the show notes for
okay.
this episode because it was really good. It was like some higher ups at the National Association of Realtors.
Okay.
You can tell the seller, all buyers are under a buyer representation agreement with their realtor.
Okay.
Meaning they are agreeing to pay their agent.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? We don't know. I don't know what that realtor charges. Okay?
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Just as we talk through all of the other concessions on your seller net sheet mm-hmm. that we're going to be looking at, you may or may not want to offer something towards the lump sum for the buyer.
Okay.
So that we can advertise if you are or are not offering.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it is important that, I mean, we're in the trenches of understanding this.
Yeah.
The sellers and buyers, some of them are, some of them aren't.
All they saw was a headline that said no more 6% commissions.
Yeah, that's all they saw. So we have to be educating them that what is going on in your market where you are specifically.
Yes, okay.
So you could say, listen, in our market, we are not seeing sellers offer anything.
Right.
So I don't think it would hurt you to not. But if you say, I checked the listings, and these sellers are offering this and this and this. If you want to compare and be a competitive advantage.
I know. I still have a problem with this.
I know you do.
I have a real like foundational problem with it because it is just doing what this lawsuit said we were doing, which is telling sellers your house is more likely to be sold if you offer a buyer's agent commission of X. Okay.
I think that before this, they were saying it from a standpoint of,
agents are sketchy, and if they're not getting paid what they want to be paid, they're not going to show your house.
I know.
We're flipping the script
okay.
here.
Make it make sense. Because, I'm here for it.
Because I'm working with buyers all the time, and this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing, like, listen, Mr. Seller, not all buyers are able to pay the full amount.
Okay.
Offering concessions opens up your buyer pool.
Because the buyer is selecting to only look at houses that offer a buyer's agent commission?
Yeah.
How do you know? Because we've never really had that.
Because now it's going to be on, like, I don't know.
No. What I'm asking is, how do you know what the buyer's behavior will actually be?
Well, you're having a buyer consultation now. And you're saying...
I know, but we're just... It's all conjecture.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what the average buyer is going to do when this happens in July.
I feel like I don't know what they're going to do, but I know based on the hundreds of buyers I've helped buy homes that the majority of them will not be able to cover the cost.
Oh, no. I agree with that.
Yeah, I know that to be a true statement.
Okay.
So, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, if you would like to open your buyer pool and be more competitive, if you would like to offer something.
That's assuming that all buyers, even if they can't afford it, still want an agent.
Yeah.
Which obviously you would if you want an agent. 89% wanted an agent, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
But what you're assuming is that they're saying, well, I want an agent. Oh, I can't pay. And then if I can't pay, I want the seller to pay or else I'm not going to go look at their house. I guess I'm trying to ask, how do I know that the buyer, when presented with two houses and they really like this house, but the seller isn't offering a commission, that they just won't see that house?
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll still see the house.
Okay, so that's a good example of sort of what we were talking about earlier. Earlier, when I first got here, I asked Katie, as a listing agent, I'm a listing agent, okay?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
A buyer calls, mm-hmm. wants to see the house.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an agent? No, and I don't want one.
Right, because I don't want to pay one.
I can't afford an agent.
No.
Can you show? So now, do I have to be a showing agent and a listing agent, and I'm doing double work as a listing agent to sell the house for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because this is what I call the BBBB. You know, like, it's the reverse of for sale by owner. For sale by owner means the owner is selling their house with no agent. BBBB is the buyer brokerage by buyer. Like, because they show up and they're like, I don't have an agent. I don't want one.
Yeah.
What is that called? It's
show
not for
house,
sale by
how
owner.
Do I write a contract?
It's purchase home by buyer?
Yeah, and because all commission is negotiable, always has been. Because of that, I think you made a valid point about saying at your seller consultation.
Yeah.
Listen, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, this is how it works. Some buyers will be represented by a realtor and are handling compensation with their realtor themselves. In the event that we have a buyer that doesn't want a realtor, cannot afford a realtor, whatever the reason is, they are not represented. In order for me to handle that showing, I will not be representing them, but the fee will be increased.
Your fee has to increase.
Your fee has
to... Mr. Seller,
if the buyer comes along and is not represented at all, and I'm going to have to carry both sides of the transaction to closing, even though I'm not representing...
Yeah, you're still babysitting.
I still have to babysit this buyer.
And make sure your house sells, because that's what you want.
Right. So I'm still going to be doing double time.
Right.
So if this buyer wants to come along in the name of no representation, the fee becomes this.
Yes. And I think that makes sense had the seller been offering a buyer side commission.
Yeah.
Basically, they're offering 10. And the buyers, and you tell them up front, hey, listen, if a buyer comes along and doesn't, they don't want to give their buyer's agent 5,
mm-hmm.
if we're offering half,
mm-hmm.
then that's fine. But you're not saving 5. You're going to have to pay me
6.
Yeah.
It's like some percentage higher than you would have gotten, or 7 or whatever. These are just fake numbers. But because I am going to have to make sure it closes for you, and that means I'm going to have to babysit and show the house and be there for inspections and all the things that a buyer's agent would have done. Mm-hmm. And I'm even if I'm not representing them, even if I'm just opening the door and providing them a form and doing ministerial acts, I have to make sure it closes for you.
Yes.
And you're going to have to pay for that extra service.
So this also changes your listing consultation.
100%.
So on the while we're talking about listing appointments and buyer appointments, I thought this was an interesting point as well. Okay. You get a phone call, a sign call, say. They want to see a house. And we say, oh, have you been pre-approved? Are you working with an agent? What's your time frame? When somebody calls us to sell their house, we never ask those questions like on the phone. We have a listing appointment. We have a consultation.
Right.
We show them what the process is. We show them our value.
Yes.
Then we present the listing agreement.
Yeah. And there are lots of buyer's agents that do an awesome job.
There are.
And have an actual consultation.
Yes.
If you do, that is wonderful.
Right.
Please don't yell at us through the speakers.
No.
That is amazing. But I want our listeners to know, if you don't, that's okay. So many of us haven't done it in the past or don't currently, but but you're going to have to add it.
You're going to have to add it. And they said that one of the best lines is really saying, I need to learn about your needs and I'll educate you on the market that we will be competing in. After that, we will decide if you want to proceed working together.
Yeah. And look, here's the great news. Now you're getting them to sign up front so you don't have to worry about losing them. So in the event that you do spin your wheels a little and they end up buying like one that they're, maybe they are a first time buyer. Let's do a whole scenario.
Okay.
They're a first time buyer. They can't afford a lot. So they're going to pay, they're saying, look, I can't afford a lot, but I'll pay. But see, that's what I don't understand, because they're going to be like, if the seller's paying it, then I want you. But didn't you sign a contract saying you'd pay me X? Right?
So what
I'm working
scenario,
through this in
I know,
real time.
I know. In that scenario, okay, say you signed for 10.
Okay.
Okay. And I have explained to you, like, listen, Katie
some
buyer.
Some
sellers might offer to wear, and it's sort of the similar situation, like when I have a buyer who can't decide how much money they want to put down on a loan. I'm like, well, listen, it may depend on the house. If we find a house that needs a lot of renovation or a lot of upfront money needed, you may opt to put less of a down payment down so that you can cover the cost of the initial things you want to do. Or if it's a house that's move-in ready and you get to, like, you don't have to spend a bunch of money after you close, you may put more money down for your down payment. Now, we are that person. So, Katie buyer, I know that we signed for 10. If the seller is offering 7, then You can put 7 towards however you want to put
and
7.
And I guess at that point in time, you could renegotiate your commission.
We can.
With your buyer.
Yes. So even if it's not the amount that
What if it's 0 and your buyer has told you, I can't pay, and then they're like, this is the house I want. I guess my point was, as an agent who now at least has locked down my buyers instead of them running off, I might be like, well, it just didn't work out. That's okay. Good luck to you. Do you know what I mean? Like,
so you're saying, like, the buyers that sign something hoping a seller is going to offer, and then the seller doesn't and they don't have the money.
Yeah. And then I'll just be like, well, I would have lost some of these buyers to another agent at some point. Do you know what I mean?
There's going
to
be some losses along the way. Absolutely. And that's another thing that lenders are working on right now.
Lenders have got to be scared.
Lenders are trying to figure out what to do to allow buyers to roll some costs in.
And look, there are federal laws in place that are, you can't change a law that quick. Like, there's some things that are a big problem.
It is a law, that a veteran cannot pay their buyer's
agent.
And
I would argue veterans more than anyone
need an agent.
100%. Deserve to be served fully. So I do have actually a note on this. Here is my take on that. I think we're all smart enough to know when you go to a listing appointment in your market, in certain price ranges, maybe close to the military base, you know the likelihood of getting a VA buyer, okay, right? If you're selling a million-dollar luxury property, I don't think a 100% loan VA buyer is going to show up, likely.
Right.
So when you go to your listing appointment with Mr. Seller in the $150,000 price range, who you know the whole, like, it's just very common to have a first-time buyer or a VA buyer or someone that doesn't have a down payment, I think it is your duty and your, I will say, moral obligation to at least explain to that seller that it is their duty to uphold home ownership for these people. And that means offering a buyer's agent compensation so that they can afford to have an agent.
I'm surprised to hear you say that.
But you see, I've classified it. I don't think it is a seller's duty to pay everyone. Like, no. Look, but if they don't have any money and you know you're in a low price range.
And that is where I'm happy to hear you say that.
Because I'm not mean.
I know. And I never thought that. I just think that you felt very strongly about sellers pay their agent, buyers pay their agent.
No, that's not what I said, though. And I have always stood by. As agents, how do we make sure home ownership is protected?
Yes.
But
when I was saying that you need to have a consultation with your seller and say, listen, Mr. Seller, let me sit down and explain the market to you and tell you that the other listings in your area are offering something. You didn't like that I said that.
Here's the thing. I feel like the post I'm seeing and the fussing I'm seeing and what people are saying in the realtor community is like, this is all wrong because of VA buyers and because all buyers are first-time buyers. I'm like, I'm going to call BS, y'all.
Right.
Because I'm going to tell you very plainly, my current average sales price is $330,000 and it's not first-time buyers. I literally have a first-time buyer right now. It is the first one I've had in several years.
Yeah.
So I am not saying, like, it's not all absolute. I think you have to look at the nuance.
Yeah. And I think just like I'm trying to give an example to everything, like how you said, so a buyer, you think a buyer is not going to choose the house they love because the seller's not offering anything. I have seen this happen. I have buyers who don't have money.
Okay.
They are approved rural development.
Okay.
They don't want to live in Livingston or Ascension Parish.
Okay.
They want to live in this neighborhood.
Okay.
But this neighborhood is not rural development approved.
Okay.
You have to have a down payment.
Okay.
They don't. So they can't live there.
That's where they can't live.
So they had to go buy a house in Ascension Parish where the RD loan was approved, even though they would have much rather bought that house in that neighborhood.
So you think it's like, they'll be like, well, here's what I'm saying. That makes sense to me, but I just don't have any proof of concept that buyers will say when it comes down to it, I need my agent more than I need that house.
You need money.
But the choice is how you're spending the money. Yeah, they needed the money to buy the house. But if someone had said, well, guess what? Now we're offering 100% loans for this house, but only if you don't have an agent. Are you telling me they wouldn't have picked the house in that neighborhood? I don't have any proof of concept.
I think it's all going to be... It's like we can only base our speculation on what we've seen buyer behavior so far.
Look, and I totally agree with what you're saying. You're like, well, the buyer just went where they had to go. What I'm saying is that I'm not sure. I don't know how deeply buyers understand, because we're not great at explaining it, the value of their realtor.
And so, every buyer situation is different.
Right. So will they pitch their realtor when it comes down to it, if that means the difference between owning a home and not owning a home? I don't know for sure, but I'm like, I think it's a 50-50.
There's going to be some losses along the way.
And here's the thing. As an agent listening to this episode, if you're not able to communicate value, and we've said this for years, you have to be able to communicate value, not just to your sellers, but also now to your buyers more than ever.
Yeah.
If the buyer doesn't see the value of thousands of dollars to have you help them, then they might just be like, well, forget it. I don't mind buying this house without an agent.
Whew.
Because I need the house.
Yeah. Right. Like
that. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
But if they did sign the buyer's representation agreement and you wanted to be a stickler as the realtor, you could.
And you better not say something that isn't true. Like, oh, I'll just let you out of it later if we don't find one.
Like, oh, just sign this, but I'll let you out. No. No, you can't do that.
It almost feels like you'd have to make it a term.
Yes.
Like,
that's
what I mean. We're looking because you got to put a number in or else you're not going to get it from the seller.
Right.
But let's just say you're okay with, look, let's go try and find one. If the seller's paying it, then great. I'll take X. If the seller's not paying it, no worries. I feel like you got to write it in.
Yeah. That's what they're saying. It cannot be vague.
Yeah, you got to write it in.
It cannot be up to, it has to be.
Yeah.
What it's is this number. The plan?
Yeah.
Transparency.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a great stopping point.
Oh, great.
And I think that this might call for a part two. Because I have some really positive mindset points about why I'm actually excited about these changes.
I think they're good.
That we didn't get to.
I still have lots of papers.
I know. So we're going to have to part two this bonus episode.
Okay.
But I think this was so helpful. It's almost like, you know, we joke that it's podcast therapy. Mm-hmm. Doing all this research and not being able to talk it out with you has been very hard.
Oh, really? So you were like, I needed my sounding board. Yeah. You're like, I need you to walk me through it.
And I like it because we both see things differently that are both correct.
I think that we both ultimately want to serve our clients well and be paid for that.
Yeah, right.
How I get there is of no concern. I am not romanticizing the way it was. Couldn't care less.
Yeah.
All I care is that I serve my clients well, they get what they want, and I get paid.
Yeah.
Don't care how I get there. Mm-mm. I do care when the general media and people out in the world and the public just think that realtors are terrible and they do nothing and shouldn't get paid and everything's going to be great now.
Right.
And I am very concerned and want to make sure that we all work together to figure out how to protect home ownership for all types of homeowners.
100%.
We can talk about that next time.
Okay, great.
But it is very important.
This okay, was good. So, I feel better already.
Do you?
Okay. I feel like a weight's been lifted.
I guess we'll do part two. Oh my God, it's our alarm.
It's our timer.
Do you like that it's Mardi Gras music? Do. Oh, yeah. Okay. Goodbye, y'all. We'll come back for part two.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hustle Humbly podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, please go to ratethispodcast.com/hustlehumbly and leave us a review or drop a comment if you're listening on Spotify.
If you have an episode topic or someone you'd like to toast on the show, please email us at team@hustlehumblypodcast.com.
Find us on social media at Hustle Humbly Podcast. Don't forget to find all of the free resources at hustlehumblypodcast.com/resources.
See you next week.
This is the good life.